but the evil yields in Mitzrayim. Now this is a faculty or a facility which we are expected to develop. And this is a sensitivity, because this is really what it means. So, and the life of the Jew is not only his own life. It doesn't mean to say that his life begins when he was born. He is a link in a chain, and his life is linked to his parents, and his parents is linked to their parents, and so it goes right back to the time when the Torah was given unto Avraham Avinu. We regard each that our life is linked to the life of our the one who preceded us, and consequently we are linked back right to the beginning, to Mahmud Harsinai, to standing at Sinai. And now it says that, and therefore he must look upon himself as if he himself went out from Mitzrayim. And I've spoken to you a little bit about that already. I'm not going to go further into that. The Fichuch, therefore, Anachnu Chayovim, we are obliged. Lahodos, now these are the expressions of praise. Lahodos, Lahaleil, Lishabeach, Lepoeir, Beromein, Lahadeir, Leboreich, Lahalei, Ulekaleis. Nine expressions of praise. We are expected to praise them. Have you got the praise?
Yes.
Lemi, or whom must we praise? Lemi, to him. Lemi, she also loves Saint Valonu, to him who did to our fathers and to us, Eskola Nisimo Elu, all these Nisi, Hotzionu me Abdus Lechelus. He brought us forth from servitude to freedom, the yoga and the simcha, from sorrow to happiness, Uma Eva le Yomtov, and from mourning to Yomtov, Uma Afeilo le Ergodel, and from darkness to a great light, Umi Shubudli, Mishibudli Geulo, and from subjugation to deliverance, the Nomar le Fono Halleluko, and let us say before him, Halleluko. And then we start the Hallel. And the Hallel is an integral part of the Haggadah. Now, if you look at the very the last four words on the same page, Lefichoch anachnu chayovim, therefore we are obliged. So it's quoting, the Gemara is now quoting this little piece that we have finished, and which ends with the words, and let us say before him, but no man lefon of Hallelujah, let us say before Hallelujah. Is that right? On the very next page, Omer Rav Chisto, said Rav Chisto, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Hallelujah, the Chesko, the Didyo, Achasei. These three words, the first word, Hallelujah, is in the Psalms. The second word, Chesko, is in the Torah at the end of the Shalach, and the third word, Vididyo, is, I think it is in the book of Samuel, in the Achas Hain, they are written as one word. Now, we don't write the word Chesko as one word, we write it as two words. Is that correct?
The same Torah as
yeah.
two words?
As yeah. two words, yes. Yeah. Have you ever read that portion?
No, I haven't.
But the next time you read, when you read it, you'll notice that it's written as two words. And what does Chesko mean?
The throne of Hashem.
The throne of Hashem. And it should have been Kisei Yudkei Vovkei. Not Kisei Ko, but Kisei Hashem Yudkei Vovkei. So the name of the Kisei, the Aleph, is cut off and is written Kais, and Yudkei Vovkei. Only half of Hashem's name is written in the first half. And that portion deals with the that we've got to annihilate Amalek. And as I explained to you, the great sin of Amalek was the Korocho Baderech. Korocho. Chanced upon. Everything is chanced with it. Everything is random. There is no such thing as this is the cause and this is effect. I do wrong, there is an effect to it. And effect for it now, doesn't work like that. You can do wrong and something wonderful come out. You can do right and something bad can come out. It just doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a cause and effect. So I attack Israel, I've got nothing to be afraid of. No such thing as a cause and effect. The waters divided, Hashem made the waters divided, no such thing. He's not concerned about anything like that, which is undermining the whole of faith. He's got 1936, but in 1936, that way is Amalek. That's the whole thing of Amalek. You can explain everything. Hashem's throne is not complete, and Hashem's name is not complete until Amalek will be wiped out. And when Amalek is wiped out, Hashem raises his hand in an oath on the throne of Kor. It should be Kisei Yudkei Vokhev, not the full name. So Hashem's name and his throne are two separate words, you see. Alkeis Kor. Hashem's name, if anybody else wants to look at it, it's the second line. Hashem's name and his throne will not be held until Amalek is wiped out. And that is why it's so important. Before the Mashiach can come, before the temple can be rebuilt, before Mashiach comes, Amalek has got to be wiped out. First we have a king, and then the first duty of the king, or a very early duty of the king, will be to wipe out Amalek. But this has got to be completely wiped out. That undermines that undermines Emunah, and without Emunah you can't have Torah, you don't believe in it. Yes,
yeah, on Amalek, one of the evils of Amalek was to attack the rear of
he attacked them on the rear. He didn't mind about attacking them on the rear. He wasn't afraid of it. His sin was korecho badera. Chazal say korecho comes from the word kar. He threw cold water over it. Everybody was afraid to jump into to have anything to do with the Jews to start with it. After Kriyas Yam Suf, what goy with any seichel would go and attack them? After Kriyas Yam Suf, enemy senses will jump into a cauldron of water that has just reached boiling point. Who's going to do it? So what does he do? He takes a few buckets of cold water and he pours it in, and then he jumps in. What have you been afraid of? He cooled it off. The same thing, korcho, it's mikre. Everything is by chance. Nothing to be afraid of, even by chance. So he takes away all the spirituality, takes all the spirituality out of the world. So anyway, but that is not really the subject of the Shias. The subject that the Chisro said in Rabbi Yochanan's name, that it's written as one word. Rav Omar, Keisko Umerchav Yo Achasei. Rav speaks only about Keisko and he introduces a new word, Merchavio, which is in the Halel. Mira Meitzer Korosiko Ima Merchavko. So that is, Rav says that Merchavio is also written as one Achasein. They are written as one word. He doesn't say anything about Haleluko, and he doesn't say anything about Yedivyo. Robo Omar, it says Robo, but it should be Robo. Robo Omar, Merchavio Bevad. He says the only word that is written as one word is Merchavio. In other words, Keisko is written as two words. Haleluko is written as two words, and Yediko is written as two words. He says the only one that's written as one word is Merchavio. All the others are written as two words. Iboyelu. So that they pose themselves a question, Merchav kol Rav Chisto mai. Rav Chisdo doesn't mention Merchav Yoheh. How does he write it? The Gemara Teiku. We just don't know. We can't say. Iboyer, who they posed another question, Yedidyo l'Rav Mai. Rav Chisdo says that Yedidyo is one word. Rav speaks only about Keisko and Merchav Yoheh. What does he do about Yedidyo? Says the Gemara Toshma, the Omar Rav, because Rav says, Yedidyo nechlak mishnayim. Yedidyo is divided into two. Lefichok, therefore, Yedid chol kol kodesh. The word Yedid is secular, and the word kol is kodesh. So if a mistake is made when one writes Yedid, then one corrects it, one doesn't have to worry. If a mistake is made when you write the word kol, you've got to wait, you can only cut it out of the parchment, and that goes into gnizo, and that is buried, and you put in another little piece of parchment underneath it, and on that you write ko. That's all that you can do. But if you say it's one word, you need ko, then that applies to the whole word. Iboyeru, they ask the question, halalu ko l'rav mai. Rav Chisdo said it was one word. But Rav doesn't speak about Halleluko. What would he say? Says the Gemara Toshma, the Omar Rav, because Rav said, Chazino I saw Tilei. Now, Tilei is the plural of Tehillim songs. Tilei is the Aramaic for Tehillim. Tilei. Rav said, Chazino Tilei Debei Chavivo. I saw the psalms of somebody at the school of somebody who was dear to me. Companion of his. Yichsiv Behu, where it was written in that book of psalms, Hallelu Bechadkiso, on one line Hallelu, the Ko Bechadkiso, and Ko was written on another line. So it sees that Rav regarded Hallelu Ko as two separate words. Says the Gemara Upliko de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But Rav differs then from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi ba Hallelu Ko. What does Hallelu Ko mean? Halleluhu behilulim harbe. He says it's not a shame Kodesh at all. But the word means praise Hashem, Halleluhu, praise Him. Behilulim harbe, with many praises. And it's one word, but it's not a shame Kodesh as Danuka. Upligo di day adi day. And the strange thing is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi conflicts with himself. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Ba'asoro ma'amora shel Shabbos, ne'emar seif, ba'amora, I'm sorry, ba'asoro ma'amora shel Shevach, ne'emar seif Tehillim. The book of Tehillim comprises 10 forms of praise. For example, you've got B'ni Tzuach, Lam Natzeach. You've got B'ni Gun. You've got the Maskil, the Mizmor, the Shir, the Ashrei, B'Tehilo, B'Tefilo, the Hodo Or, the Hallelujah Ko. And Goru Mikulam Hallelujah Ko, the greatest of all these forms of introduction to a psalm is Halleluko, because it's got this, it combines Shem Vosheva Favas Achas, the name of Hashem, and praise together. So he regarded it as two separate words. Omar Avihudo Omar Shmuel. Said Rabbi Yehuda that Shmuel said, Shir Sheba Torah, Moshe the Israel Omruha. Now this is a new piece. In the Torah it says, Oz Yoshir Moshe Ubnei Israel Esa Shiro Azaz. So what does it mean, Oz Yoshir Moshe Ubnei Israel Esa Shiro Azaz? Then, and this is something that always used to puzzle me, your shield. It says, "Vayal Yisrael et ha'yod ha'delu asher oso Hashem b'Mitzrayim, vayiruhu omes Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem v'Mashiach abdel, oz yoshir Moshe u'b'nei Yisrael es ashiru azos, la'Hashem v'yomru le'mer." And then they began, and they sang, "Oshiru la'Hashem ki go'el go'ol," and so forth. Oshiru la'Hashem. Now, look what Rabbi Yehuda says in Shmuel's name. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shir Sheba Torah, Moshe v'Yisroel Omruho, Moshe and Yisroel said it, V'sho Oshe Olu Min Hayom, at the time when they went up from the sea. So what does Shmuel tell us, or what does Rabbi Yehuda tell us, that we don't know from the words, Oz Yoshir Mashiach Bnei Yisroel Es Ashiru Azos?
When they sang it.
Well, we know it. It says, "Vayari Yisrael et ha'yod ha'del ha'shir osu Hashem b'Mitzrayim, vayiru omes Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem Moshiach abdel, oz yoshir Moshiach b'nei Yisrael." They had just come out. "B'nei Yisrael holku v'yaboshu b'soch ha'yom, v'hamayim rohim chelmo mini nom u'mismer lom, vayosha Hashem v'yom ahu et Yisrael v'yad Yisrael, v'yad Yisrael 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 v'yad Oz Yoshir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. So he says, Moshe Bnei Yisrael Omru B'sho Shikol Min Hayom. When they went out from the sea, then they said it. So that's what it says us. Then Moses and Israel sang this song. Moshe composed it. Then first he had to tell it to the Am Yisrael. He had to teach it to them. How can you just sing a song? Look what he says. He says, "Moshe v'Yisrael omru v'sho she'ol min hayom." The way I can understand this piece of Gemara is that they sang it all together when they went up from the sea. So who composed it? Moshe composed it, and each one of the Yisrael composed it. How can that be?
Be composed before.
That's comfy. This is what they were so overwhelmed by it that they sang this great song. Now, we know that what is written here is written binavua. Hashem, this is Hashem's word. When the Am Yisrael crossed the Red Sea, the Gemara tells us, "Ro'o shifcho shebayom, ma shele ro'o yechizke," that an ordinary handmaid saw at the Red Sea what a prophet like Yechizke didn't see. After all, Yechizke was a prophet who saw that great vision at the beginning, which we read as the Haftarah on the first day of Shavuos. He saw this great vision, Hashem sitting on his throne, and all this going on in the heavenly court. We say a handmaid saw more than Yechezkel saw.
Saw the song written.
So what they were able to do, they composed it. Everybody was there, and everybody composed it through Nevuah. Now, it is true that Chazal say that two Nevi'im can prophesy the same thing, but they will use different language. They will use different language, which one can understand. But it depends at what state of prophecy it is. We sometimes find that prophets use exactly the same language. For example, there is a prophecy by Yeshayahu, and there is a prophecy by Micho, and they are exactly the same words. So it means that there are certain things. After all, you are depicting reality, describing reality, and not only are you describing reality, but you are describing reality with Lashon HaKodesh, which is the language most suited to describe reality. It's Lashon HaKodesh. So you're describing what took place through Nebuah with Loshen HaKodesh, and this was something, if the meanest servant saw more than Yechezkel saw, then they all composed it in at one time, at the same time, and they all sang it at the same time. And that is what it says. Who Moshe v'Yisrael omruhu b'shor she'olu min hayom. Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael said it at the time when they went up from the sea. That was the time when it was composed, and that was the time when it sang. It was done spontaneously, and all saw it. Then they said, Zekei li v'amveilu. This is my God, Zekei li. It was so clear to them, everything. When they reached this stage of seeing reality, they were able to compose it, and they composed it all exactly the same way. Yes.
Okay. If they had such a belief,
it would work for you, don't they? They didn't work for them.
What was the question?
Mr. Black says, how is it they reached such heights? How is it that they served the golden calf afterwards? So I explained to him, you can reach those heights if you don't work for it. They reached such heights, didn't stay there. If you want to stay a long time there, for that you've got to work. Have you ever heard of the son that inherited $5 million from his father who died? Ever heard of him? Sure you have. Yes, you're quite right. And after a year or two, there was nothing left. Nothing left. $5 million. I don't even speak in such figures. $5 million. Nothing left. Why? But you work for it. You don't have to work for it, you don't get it. Whereas, you will respond to my calls to Christ, thank you very much. He remains a prophet, he worked for it. Moshe Rabbeinu remains a Novi, he worked for it. You don't work for it, it doesn't stay. Amlelech Tochal, Umayim b'meshuro tishte, Va'alvo oretz tishor, Zuhi darko shel Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Explains it, his way of explaining it is, because if you are not prepared to have that, that means that you are concerned with having a proper bed to sleep in, all that, like me. Can't speak about you, but like me. We want to have our food, we want to have our meals. Can't reach the heights of Torah that way, nor the depths.
Listen, but don't we know that there were very eminent sages who were very wealthy people?
Yes, for example, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, and when he died, he lifted up his little finger and he said, I didn't benefit from Olam Hazeh as much as that. That's a, compared to his whole body, that's what I took from the Olam Hazeh, at least in fact. Then you do get occasionally, but not when they were studying. The Chofetz Chaim lived very frugally. He didn't have enough chairs, he had benches in his house, certain benches in his certain days. Only on Shabbos he was a Tanakh.
Was
it? Henke. America never got to know Henke. Henke was a gorgeous one. And then he was ill, you know, and he forgot a lot. Through illness, did you know that?
No.
Through illness, he forgot a lot. But what remained with him, what he retained was the Chofetz Chaim very truly. The old Tel Jerob lived extremely well, but not for himself. That was his shita, his position. That's what his position demanded, that he's got to live very well. Didn't do it for himself. That is what he believed. That was his shita. That's another shita. But when they studied, nothing at all. Even those who were very wealthy, Pastor Melech Tochal, Once you've got in mind anything else, so then you can't reach those great heights of faith. And that is the way they lived. Period of the two, between the two world wars, that there was any kind of comfort given to Yeshiva students. And that was done mainly, it's the Darkei Hashem. That was done mainly, there was no money. William Kofkin died. He left, you know William Kofkin from your work, he left his whole fortune only for Yeshivas. And he said he wanted it that they should be, you know, that they should use it in Yeshivas to bring a little bit of comfort in Yeshivas. So then they built dining rooms, so they had a dining room, and they had one meal a day in Yeshiva. He brought it in. Now in those days they didn't have dormitories, you stayed with them. And in the earlier days, but there was enough money that you paid your landlady. But in the earlier days they used to sleep in the Midrash. Didn't have anywhere to sleep. Couldn't afford it. Today, the Halel there, Mi Omru, who said the Halel? Now look what the Gemara answers. Nevi'im Shebeneim Tiknu Lohen LeYisraelel. The Nevi'im amongst them were Mesakeh for the Bnei Israel. Sheyehu Omrim Oso Al Kol Perek VePerek. So I take this to mean that the Nevi'im in the midst of the Bnei Israel, and this wasn't at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, but this was before Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Bnei Israel were in Egypt. And why I'm saying that will become apparent later on in the Gemara. When the Bnei Israel were at the Yamsuf, when the Bnei Israel were in Egypt already, there were Nevi'im amongst the Bnei Israel. Aharon was a Novi. The Shivim Zakenim were Nevi'im. These people had Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. They composed it, and they were the second. Sheyahu Omrim Oso Al Korim Perek VePerek VeAl Kol Tzoro VeTzoro Shelo Tova Aleihem. And they used to bake it at every juncture, and when every tzoro, may it not come upon them, and when they were delivered, they said Hallel at their deliverance. I'm learning it. So I am learning it that the Hallel was composed by the Nevi'im already before going out of Egypt. And they composed it that this is said whenever there is a great period of joy and there's been sorrow, there's been trouble, and the Bnei Israel has been redeemed from it, it is then that they said Hallel. Have you got it? Why? It will come out a little bit clearer later on. Tanya, we know it in the Baraisa, for your Rabbi Meir, only Rabbi Meir used to say, Kol tushbochos to amuros v'seifa tehilim, kulon David amoros. All the praises that are said in the book of Tehilim, kulon David amoros. David said all those praises. Shenema, because it is written at the end of Psalm 72, Kolu Tefilos David Ben Ishai. Literally we take it, the Tefilos, the prayers of David Ben Ishai have been concluded. Artikli Kolu Elo Kol Elu, but read it, all these. That means all these are the Tefilos of David ben Ishai. So all the praises that are written in the Sefer Tehillim were written by David.
Only the whole Hallel, though, at the in the whole Hallel at the in the Haggadah is split in two parts. Actually, we say one part before.
Yes, and one part after. Yes, that's there's a little bit of a difficulty here, and that is, what is the proof? It says, "Kol elu tefilos David ben Ishai." Al tikru, don't read "kula," but read "kol elu." All these are the praises of David ben Ishai. But that is only in Psalm 72. So there is a Rashi here. There is a Rashi here. The Rashi just, first of all, this Psalm 72 is called Lishlomo. Now, what does Lishlomo mean?
That is the Shlomo Shir.
That he wrote it, that Shlomo wrote this Shir. And when you read it, it seems like this: Elohim Mishpotech Ola Melech Tein, give your judgments to a king, V'tzibchos Ola Ben Melech, and your righteousness to the son of a king. It sounds very much as a it ends, that one says it, Kolu Tefilos Dovid Ben Ishai, all are the Tefilos of Dovid Ben Ishai. Says Rashi, Rabbi Seinu Doshu, Kol Eilu Tefilos Dovid, Lichlo Kola Sefer Hashem Dovid, to make it that the whole Sefer is on the name of Dovid. Rashi learns it like this: Lishlomo, it was written by David for Shlomo.
Dedicated.
Yes, for Shlomo it was written.
Shir Hashirim Shlomo.
That means Shlomo wrote it. There it is, Shlomo Melech wrote it. But Rashi learns that David, because it ends, Kol Tefilos David Ben Ishai, or Kol Eilu Tefilos David Ben Ishai. Now, but says Rashi, the order of the Psalms is not chronological. And Rashi says this was the last Psalm that David HaMelech wrote. He wrote it for Shlomo HaMelech, when he knew that he was going to die and Shlomo HaMelech was going to succeed him. Then he wrote it, and that is why it says, Kol Tefilos David Ben Ishai, completed are the Tefilos of David Ben Ishai, or Kol Eilu Tefilos, all these are the Tefilos of David Ben Ishai.
And this, but there's a
Tehillim
we say on Shabbos morning, which is described
by Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only that, there's a Tehillim which we said to this morning, which was done by Oso. Wasn't it? Was it Beidalet?
This morning,
we've taken up. You say there are others also. Now Rashi mentions that. Rashi omru b'nei Korach va'asor zekelim Hashem shehu mikro noim zemiros Yisrael. So anyway, he says the book is still what is according to Rashi. It says it's true that we have included others, but the book is written as the pillars of David HaMelech. He collected them, even if the others said it, he put them all together. So he was responsible for taking those tefillos and putting them all together. But it's quite right that there are others that weren't said by David HaMelech. In fact, Mishma Shiri Yama Shabbos, who said that? Are two schools of thought. The one school of thought is that Odom HaRishon really said it, and the other school of thought is not Odom HaRishon said it, but David HaMelech said it. But David HaMelech had that power that he could put himself into the position of Odom HaRishon, apropos of what I said earlier, that we believe that the life of each Jew doesn't start with his birth, that the life of each Jew is linked to his parents, and his parents is linked to their parents. So his life really starts, the beginning of the chain is with Odom HaRishon. Now, in the same way as we are expected to be able to look upon ourselves as if we just went out from here, from Eretz Mitzrayim, which is easier to do than another thing that Odom HaMelech was able to do. He was able to look upon himself as a descendant of Odom HaRishon. He wrote that psalm in as Odom HaRishon would have written it. That is another, and both are acceptable. You follow? Those are the two views on it. Feel an emotion.
On the Pesach to come, some Jews will sit down and say, this is what Jews used to do, and some Jews will sit down and say, this is what they used to do. There's sort of a difference.
And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. Ask Chazal, but it wasn't this day. First of all, when was the word the Ohapto, Shmaiser and Ohapto said? it was saved 40 years after the Torah was given. Said at the end of the time that they were in the Midbar, in the wilderness. Then Bhuyabum Abraham. So how can it say, Ashiru Luki Matsavakwayo? First question. The second question is, it's given for all time. It's given for us today, tonight. These words which I command you today shall be upon your heart. So Chazal say, every day they've got to be as if they've just been given to you. Now this is, you've got to be able to do that. You know, when I was a very little boy, I saw Morris Moscovich. I was in the fifth grade, the equivalent of the fifth grade, and we had a very remarkable teacher in the fifth grade, very remarkable woman. And this woman, we had her only because she was suffering from bad lungs, and she was in England, and she had to come out to South Africa because of the climate, otherwise she would have died. And that is the only reason we had her as a teacher. And she was the principal of a us to see the Merchant of Venice by Morris Moscovich. And what as a child I remember from that was that I was transported to Venice, but to such an extent that it was also alive in front of me. This was the life that they were leading in Venice. This was the sort of thing that it was. And today, in retrospect, I realize that Morris Moscovich was the man that was able to do it. So he, to him, he lived that part. That's an actor. He lived that part. There's no question about it. So it happened so many hundreds of years before he died. But to him, because he was that part. Now, to us, even to a greater extent, we are expected to be able to bring ourselves to the time of going out of Egypt and experience that at the same time. That's what we are expected to do. An ability. All right?
Are we in the easy part, or is this the easy part of the way we're doing now, or have we got to it yet?
Really, no such thing as easy part. There's no such thing. Halel ze mi omre. Who said Halel? Now you remember that we had that question before. And the answer was Nevim Shebenem Tikno Lehem Yisrael Sheyu Omri Mazal Koperi Koperi. You remember that? Now it asks again, Halel Ze Mi Omro? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosei Omer. Rabbi Yosei said, El Oze Bni Omer Moshe Yisrael Omru B'Shor She'Olim Min Hayom. He said that my son, El Ozo, said that Moshe and Yisrael said it when they went up out of the Yom. So in other words, in the same way as Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael, Oz Yoshil Moshe, so they composed Halel. That was said by Rabbi Ozo, the Moshe of Rabbi Yosei. And Rabbi Yosei said, and my son's colleagues differed from him. No one to say, she David Omro, that David HaMelech said it. The meaning the word of Medivrayim. So he says, but I prefer what my son says to what they say. Why? Efshar Yisroel Shochtu Espizchayim, the not Lulubayim. Below Omru Shiro, is it possible that Israel did the Pesach and they took their Lulavim and they didn't say Shiro? That is impossible, and that is what Halel is meant. So the Halel must have been composed already earlier. The only thing is they shechted the Pesach before Shiro Min Hayom. So I don't quite understand how that is going to work out.
They well, already celebrated the Pesach before they ever went into the Yom. So they must have had the Halel already.
So, but it says, yeah. They said it, B'shor She'olim Min Hayom.
they already knew it before they ever went into the and certainly they knew it when they came out.
Just look how Rashi says it. He says, why does he say it? Look at the way Rashi is three lines from the top at the very end of the third line. Efshar says Rashi, Efshar Israel Shuchtim Espiz Chayel. Is it possible that Israel shechted the Pizkayim? So he says, Miyatzias Mitzrayim Va'adobi Bilo Omro Olav Halel. He doesn't mean, says Rashi, he doesn't mean from the time that they shechted the Pesach, but from the time that they went out from Mitzrayim to Dobi, they didn't say Halel, because they had shechted their Pesach after they went out. Every year they did it. So every year they shechted the Pekov and Pesach. And every year they took their removing in their hands. And they never said Hallel to David HaMelech. Hallel wasn't said. That is impossible. That is the way Rashi learns it. You see? You follow what I'm saying? So Rashi learns it like that. So Rabbi Yosei said that his son Eri Ozor said that Moshe and Israel said it. They composed it. And so they must have composed it before they went out, much the same as Bill said, before they went out of Egypt. Or they could have said it at the time of the Yom, the Nirim Devor of the Hebraian, actually Israel shortly as became, but not the blame below Omri Shiro. So they said it also when they went out from the Yom. And that was the time to say it, that was the time when they could compose it, so they were on that very high God Bandreiko. So they composed it, Moshe and Israel composed it. Dover Acher, another reason is, Peace lo shalmicha ome bebechi v'Israel ome mezahalev. In the time of the judges, and this graven image remained there and was not destroyed right through to the days of David. So, they said, how could David this Hallel if there was still this graven image in existence? And the reason is because in the Hallel, it doesn't seem that this could have been said at the time when there was still this Pesach, which was a very great kitruk as far as Bnei Yisrael. So therefore the Gemara takes it that it must have been composed earlier. So Hallel was not composed by David according to the Gemara, but it was composed by the Bnei Yisrael at the time when they went up from the Yam. That is the time. And it was said on all great occasions, on a Yom Tov, this is what was said. And that is the conclusion to which the Gemara comes. Bechi is the name of a place. Israel only there's a Hallel, and Israel say the Hallel, it must have been composed earlier. Just let us take a break there, so that you'll be able, that we say in the Haggadah. And when your children will say, Moha Abudo Hazos Lochem. Now, what should you answer your children who say that? Va'amartem, it's the only place of the four places that he doesn't give the dative. Just Va'amartem. Otherwise he says, Ve'ikinucho levincho, and this is what you shall answer loan to him. This is the only thing, Va'amartem, and you shall say. Zip, not to him. Shows you. You know, it's not a nice thing. You think it's a nice thing? When? Gary Hart and Jesse are sitting around the table, and Mondale and Gary Hart carry on as if Jesse doesn't exist at all. He doesn't exist. What do you think Jesse does?
His feathers are
rough. Oh, pardon me?
His feathers
are rough. He protests. See, they ignore me. He doesn't like it. They ignore him. say, yeah, Bar Market, and you shall say. Say, he also knew you said this is you know, a Polish municipal is very serious. Seriously, go away, Lechachilo. Say, look, I don't believe in all this. I'm not profiting with this.
Isn't the Chacham is the first one, and then the Rasha, and then Chacham, or the Rasha is first, or Chacham? Why did Chacham be the first?
Why the Chacham is the first isn't the question. The question is why the Rosh is the second. The Chacham, I can understand that the Chacham is the first. Why is the Rosh the second?
So we have Chacham and
because they're dealing in the first two instances with people who really understand.
That is it. That's right.
Know the right questions to ask.
They've got a lot in common. the Talmud Kochav and the Rosho got the Rosho knows, but his question is, it's not a question that he wants to know the answer. It's an oratorical question. I mean, if a person says, what's this business of the Porah Adumah? What's all this business that you say the Porah Adumah? That you read it, the Parshas Porah, and you read the Porah. What's all this business about? Go and answer him. The Chazal say that this is the one thing that we just can't give an answer on. Because you need all the 50 Shari Chochmah and all the 50 Shari Kedusha, you need to be able to answer. The most Moshe Rabbeinu only got 49. We can't. Ask the meaning of the whole Korban Pesach and the meaning about the him it does. We can explain it, but to him it doesn't mean anything at all. Him, this is the only place that you don't say to him. All the others, we got it, Levitica. You should say to him, but this one, not to him. Can we go on, please?
Same thing in the rating services. I don't know what they do, to be honest. Well, they have a uniform 1% number they take. I wish we had more time for that one, but there are many fine discount brokers. If you're looking for no service and low-cost discount brokerage services here in the Bay Area, and the names just pop off the page when you open the yellow pages.
All right, I'd like to get Mr. Dyke's letter.
All righty, you write to Mr. Dines, and the address I'll give at the end of the show, and you'll get it. Arthur, good evening.
Yes,
let me have your question fairly quickly, sir.
Okay, I have a couple of 100 shares of NL Industries.
NL Industries.
10 months ago, and I've lost money on it since. What should I do to maximize my capital growth in the next 12 months?
NL Industries. I haven't looked at that one either. I didn't realize I was going to get so many specific questions on companies. I didn't bring a chart book with me either, or any reference work. The last time I looked at NL, it was a good company. If it's in a downtrend, you know how I feel about that. I don't hold downtrending stocks.
Just a basic industry company is being ignored in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's an overlooked bullshit, but if you want more action, I think you're going to have to get into more exciting stocks. My letter covers that kind of thing.
Clearly, you're going to have to get a copy of Jim Dines' letter. By golly.
There's the answer on NL Industries. Thank you very much indeed, Arthur. Michael, good evening.
Yeah, hi.
Quick question, sir.
Yeah, I just was wondering, when the gold prices went down...
You were wondering what? What's your question?
My question is if Jim Dines personally took a bath when the gold prices went down.
Jim, did you lose any money on the gold?
Well, the truth is that I got in very low prices because I got in the 60s, so our stocks, we certainly took in a lot less than we could have gotten at the top, but we made up for it again. We went to the market at 796, so,
and you made back a lot of your profits there. Jim Dines, it's been a fascinating and all too short hour. I really enjoyed it, and I know a number of our listeners did, and if they don't all agree with what you say, if they're not happy, if you don't make them happy with your words, at least you'll make them rich by reading your thoughts in the Jim Dines letter. Sample copy without obligation or commitment is available to you, good Moneyline listener. You can write to the Dines letter, P.O. Box 22, Belvedere, California, 94920. That's the Dines, D-I-N-E-S letter, P.O. Box 22, the town of Belvedere, B-E-L-V-E-D-E-R-E, California, 94920. And if you might mention you're a Moneyline listener, you might even get it quicker than otherwise.
In fact, if you'd like to immortalize the words of James Dines this evening on the Money Line, you're very welcome to order a cassette copy of the program offered to you by KQED-FM. The price is $7.75 and send it in check form made out to KQED-FM along with your name and address and the date of this program to KQED-FM, 500 8th Street, San Francisco, 94103. Our address, 500 8th Street, San Francisco, 94103, to Bill and any other callers who's interested in a copy of that health industry report on the health care stocks is welcome to write to me at the Money Line here, 500 8th Street, San Francisco, 94103. And I hope you'll make a point to be looking our way when we'll be looking at why interest rates are going higher and why the dollar seems to be going lower. We'll be looking through the eyes of Fed Watcher Extraordinary and author of the Wellington Letter, Bert Doman Ramirez. We'll be on tape for that program, but I hope very much you'll make a point to join us next Thursday. Until then, my thanks to Joy Severin, Sedge Thompson, and most important of all, to you. Thanks very much for listening to us, and my thanks as always to Jim Dines. Until we meet again, I'm Kevin Bowden, wishing you good fortune and good luck. Moneyline host and producer Kevin Bowden is employed in the Bay Area as an investment specialist. The views and opinions expressed on the Moneyline program are strictly those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KQED, its staff, or management.
The largest concert hall organ in North America makes its debut at Davies Symphony Hall. KQED-TV and radio presents live coverage as the San Francisco Symphony joins Ada DeVars in the coronation of the King of Instruments. Experience San Francisco Symphony's organ inaugural gala on KQED.
Be on KQED-FM and KQED Channel 9 at the same time, Saturday night, 8:30. The stereo simulcast. Rehearsals and preparations underway for the past several weeks, all culminating in that recital and concert Saturday night.